Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, brought to you today by Sanebox. Get control of your inbox. Sanebox is your answer for that. Sanebox.com/martini. That's where you need to go for your no-obligation two-week trial, plus $25 in credit for signing up at that site. That's Sanebox.com/martini. Jim Garrity of National Review is here, but he's on the train traveling through New Jersey as we speak, towards New York to do some work for CNN. And I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We really don't have a good martini, but we do have a first martini today. And that's about as good as we can do today because it's certainly not good. But I guess it's maybe good in a bizarre way, Jim, in that it's revealing and confirming something that we've already known and talked about yesterday. And that's that Hillary Clinton is a big liar on a number of different issues. And now we have confirmation that the people around her just don't care. They're perfectly okay with that as long as she wins. Ron Fournier, who has covered the Clintons since he was covering them in Arkansas and then throughout the Bill Clinton presidency, he actually likes her. He thinks Donald Trump would be a worse president, but he says that this lying has got to stop. He wrote a long piece in The Atlantic about it. And then when he was asked about it on Morning Joe today by Willie Geist, he actually said this.
That's been their assessment from the beginning. I literally had senior officials on the record, or not on the record, on background a year ago saying, or more than a year ago, saying that trust doesn't matter, that Bill Clinton won even though he was trusted less than the two people he ran against. We don't realize that the world has changed, and we now see that trust does matter. It's really destroyed her credibility. Now, she could still win, even by continuing this parsing and this lying, but then she's going to be leading a country where two-thirds of the people don't trust her. And you can't transform our politics. You can't do half of the things that she wants to do that need to be done if people don't trust her. So that's the miscalculation they're making. They're only worried about winning this news cycle. They're only worried about winning on Election Day.
Pretty sure Hillary Clinton's not all that interested in transforming our politics, Jim, but I guess this is not really coming as a huge surprise, but from a guy who's fairly sympathetic towards the Clintons to be disgusted by the lying and the fact that they're basically admitting behind the scenes that, yeah, we're doing this, we're going to keep doing it, and even if two-thirds of the country hates us, as long as we win, that's all that matters.
This is not a good martini so much as a dramatic irony martini. It kind of feels like, I mean, in a way, we must salute the honesty. Hillary Clinton, 2016, trust doesn't matter. Or maybe just kind of maybe the new slogan could be the liar you can trust. Because, you know, she's lying, so you know not to believe it. So you feel reassured. In some ways, she promised transparency, and the transparency of the lies are so clear that everyone can see through them, which in its own way is a form of honesty. So it's bizarre, it's depressing, it's really clear. In a normal political environment, you'd be able to rebuke that, and you'd want to see the electorate eager to rebuke that, and considering how it seems like the Trump campaign's done almost everything wrong, she doesn't have an overwhelming lead in a whole bunch of these places. It's been, you know, fairly consistent but small all year long. And you kind of look at that and say, huh, she is a deeply flawed candidate, but at this point you'd have to say she is the favorite based on the overall dynamics of the race, and she's managing to overcome questions people have about her honesty and those high disapproval numbers. But it's kind of bizarre to see them being just, you know, very upfront and very straight about it, like, you know, we're now in post-trust politics.
There are polls out showing that two-thirds of Americans don't trust Hillary Clinton. Sometimes it's even north of that. And basically, her ethics are keeping Donald Trump in the game. But Donald Trump is doing his best to make sure he doesn't stay in the game. The Captain Con controversy will not go away. And it's largely because of the Trump campaign. And they won't stop talking about it, although the cons have done their fair share of interviews as well, certainly. But the latest bizarre twist in this chapter, as we shift to our second martini, Katrina Pearson, she goes on with Wolf Blitzer yesterday to talk about how Captain Con's death in 2004, mind you, is really the fault of Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. Here's what she had to say.
But surely you can understand the confusion, considering how Donald Trump never voted for the Iraq war. Hillary Clinton did. And then she didn't support the troops to have what they need. It was under Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton that changed the rules of engagements that probably cost his life. So I don't understand why it's so hard to understand why Donald Trump was confused about why he was being held responsible for something he had nothing to do with while Hillary Clinton had everything to do with.
Okay, she did say one thing that's true there, and that's that Hillary Clinton did vote for the Iraq war. And if we went back into the votes on funding, Jim, I'm sure she probably voted for the $87 billion before she voted against it, like John Kerry did and some of the other votes along the way. So if she'd stopped there, she might have had a decent case, although she should probably stop talking about it altogether. But then when she goes into rules of engagement, Jim, we got to run for state senate in Illinois because apparently the power you have in that position to change military rules of engagement is staggering.
Very simple answer here, Greg. It's time travel. Obama went back, I believe, to 2003, 2004, and as a pseudo time traveling president, was able to change the rules of engagement. Now, I think, you know, besides the fact that this is, you know, beneath even Pearson's low bar of a regular performance, is that by saying something so blatantly ridiculous, it hurts the legitimate arguments she's making. You know, Trump didn't vote for the Iraq War. Whether he, you know, strongly opposed it from the beginning is disputed and not quite clear from his comments in early 2003. But, you know, there is a really legitimate point to be made that one of the things that complicates U.S. warfighting efforts are the rules of engagement. And this is the sort of thing that's probably better left discussed to soldiers and actual military experts and not your usual campaign spokesman, but that point will get lost in this when you start arguing that because of, you know, rules of engagement that were enacted during Obama's term, that it somehow played a role in the death of a U.S. serviceman in 2004.
Yeah, it makes no sense, and you're right, exactly. There's a lot to criticize this administration for in tying the hands of our soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan, but in 2004, that doesn't hold water, and like you just said, I can't say it any better. It ruins the argument for how poorly Obama has led the armed forces since he actually became president in 2009. So while sanity takes a break in the Trump campaign, let's talk about SaneBox. SaneBox helps you sort through your email and moves all the trivial stuff to a different folder. So the only messages you see in your inbox are the ones you actually want to see. Aside from removing all the junk so you can focus on messages that matter, there's the great feature called the black hole, which we talked about yesterday. You don't need to type in unsubscribe anymore. You just yank your email, drag it into the black hole folder, and you'll never hear from them again. If you could use some more organization in your email life, we've worked out a great deal with SaneBox for our listeners. Visit SaneBox.com/martini today. Everybody gets the two-week free trial, but we'll give you $25 credit on top of the two-week free trial, so you don't have to enter your credit card information unless you ultimately decide to buy. Nothing to lose. Check it out today. That is SaneBox.com/martini, SaneBox.com/martini. And Jim, one of the things that I really liked about this when signing up is the last thing you want to do is have to create a whole new profile somewhere, remember yet another password. It doesn't happen. With SaneBox, you open it up, you tell it which account you want it to manage. It spins its wheels there for a few minutes. And with our accounts, probably yours even a few more minutes than mine, once it gets everything in the right folders. And that's it. You just operate your regular email system, and it does the work for you.
You know what's great? I'm looking at it today is the Sane No Replies folder. Because if you kind of like, okay, did I email that person? Did they ever get back to me? Well, here they do. Keeps track of how many emails you sent out, in my case, for the past week that someone has not replied. And I'll just point out, Greg, I emailed you yesterday, and you didn't reply. Now I know. So if you want to catch people, no. But if you want to, you know, let things, if you feel like, you know, a lot of things get dropped, get forgotten, discussions kind of end, and you forget to reply, or they forget to reply to you, it's all in one place and keeps it. And meanwhile, as I pointed out yesterday, there are 202,000 emails that I don't need to worry about sitting there. That if I ever feel the need to sort through, I will do so. So, hooray for SaneBox. That's the message of Wednesday.
Yeah, absolutely. SaneBox.com/martini, again, to take advantage of the offer. And as we shift to, I think, our next crazy martini, because I got to think Pearson's a crazy martini as well. Jim, you're on Amtrak as we speak right now. Amtrak certainly has had its share of issues over time. DC Metro, however, in just the past few years, has turned into an absolute disaster, to borrow a phrase from Donald Trump. Right now, if you haven't been to DC, they're basically shutting down or reducing service on all different parts of the system. There's been fires just sparking up at various times that shuts down the trains. We had a derailment a few days ago. And so people are probably thinking, what more could go wrong for Metro? Well, I'll tell you what else could go wrong for Metro. This is courtesy of ABC News. A veteran police officer with one of the nation's most prominent transit systems has been arrested for allegedly trying to help ISIS. Authorities believe that while working for the Metro Transit Police Department around Washington, D.C., a community he swore to protect, Officer Nicholas Young was also trying to assist ISIS operatives find more ways to communicate in secret. Young allegedly purchased technology-related items to send to the ISIS operatives so they could evade authorities when contacting each other. Instead of allegedly engaging with true ISIS associates, however, Young was actually in touch with the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force in Washington, which has been conducting a lengthy undercover investigation into the officer. So the good news here is that there's no actual pending threat to the D.C. transportation system from terrorists. That's got its own threats from all sorts of other men.
Emphasize that.
So, Jim, you know taking the job at Metro is going to be a thankless one, but the people in charge there now have just got to be literally banging their heads against the desk really, really hard.
Someone had just asked, how could it get worse? And now we see how. I'm sure one of their slogans is that DC Metro, we're here to serve you. What we don't realize is up on a plate to the terrorists is the second part of that slogan. The reaction to this, to give, you know, people outside D.C. a sense of just how much faith has been lost in D.C. Metro, which back in the 90s was actually in a city during the Marion Barry years where nothing was working right. D.C. Metro was the one thing that you could count on that was running on time, it was clean, it was safe. There's both a Twitter account and a website entitled, Is D.C. Metro on Fire? It's very simple. It basically says either yes or no. You check it in, and it will either tell you whether it is on fire or not. Now, I had just tweeted this information out, and somebody said the only good news we can take from this is just thinking of all the ISIS plots that have probably been foiled due to the breakdowns and other technical problems on D.C. Metro. I'm just picturing the ISIS meeting where somebody's like, you know, al-Baghdadi sitting there, wait a minute, we were supposed to have a terrible D.C. attack today. Like, some little underling going to say, yeah, you know, the train derailed before it could hit the bomb. It's really bad. So that's where we are now.
Thwarting terrorism through incompetence. That's a fabulous strategy.
Okay, keep in mind I'm having this conversation on a train, so if at some point I get arrested by TSA, this is exactly why. So for all the NSA people listening, I'm mocking the incompetence of D.C. Metro. I don't really know any of this. Anyway, I hope everyone has a good day. And whatever day you're having, you're probably having a better day than the head of PR for the Washington, D.C. Metro system.
That's true every day, though, but today especially. Jim, travel safely to New York. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in to the 3-Martini Lunch brought to you again by SaneBox for your 2-week free trial plus $25 in credit. Go to SaneBox.com/martini and join us again Thursday for the next 3-Martini Lunch.